Breakfast with Matt and Alex.
On Triple J.
Yeah, anything too bad.
And it's a podcast here. Very good guest on the show today. Matthew Riley is going to be joining us. Hello again, Matthew. You're in the podcast intro.
All right, here we are.
This doesn't happen very often when we get our guests from the show in the podcast intro, but because we love you, podcast listener.
I'm honoured.
Well, yep. But we've also just brought a special guest into the studio.
First things first, how did you find the show today, the interview today? We go okay on you?
Astonishingly professional, well-researched, funny, insightful. There was a really, really good segue in there from Matt as well. So
he's the king. He is the king.
It was a library segue. It was very clever.
But we didn't want to do this live on air.
I was very happy
case.
With that moment, by the way, as well. But these things work out for you.
But we thought we'd do it in the podcast intro. We've brought another special guest in, Luann, who's just started working at Triple J. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Hello.
Hey, Luann.
Hi. So you may not remember me. We met about a week and a half ago. I was passing through LA. It was a very unexpected stop through Burbank after a film screening. I dropped in on a dinner at a Thai restaurant, recall.
After Che's movie.
That's correct, yes. I was at the other end of the table trying not to fangirl too much and I found out you were at the other end. We got up to leave. You had left just before us. We went to pay the bill and found out you had paid for everyone at the table.
Nice guy on air and off. Wow. That's outrageous.
So I never got to thank you for buying me dinner. Oh. And I found out you were coming into the studio today and got very excited and wanted to thank you. So
that's all right.
I get to do it in the flesh. So.
You're very welcome. We were seeing a low budget Australian film.
Oh, really?
Called Blue World Order.
Blue World Order.
I have a real soft spot for it because it is almost the filmic equivalent of what I did with Contest. This young bloke named Che Baker, he basically scrabbled together the money to make a sci-fi movie in Canberra, and he was screening it in Los Angeles for exhibitors and distributors. I sort of did that very quietly.
And now we're broadcasting it on national radio.
Well, that's all right. Our podcast stats are not, they're not off the charts.
They may very well be more people at that dinner than there was listening to this podcast. So,
Thank you very much for saying so.
Thank you. I'm glad I got to thank you in person.
All right, there we go.
And thank you for listening to this podcast.
We'll catch you soon. Bye.
Subtract on Triple J, a song called The Light, Deny More. The vocalist helping subtract the masked magician of music out there on that particular song. Kid Cudi at the top, Pharrell Williams, the person helping him out. Surfing. Matt and Alex joining you.
Yep. Now, look, there was a bit of outrage just at the beginning of the show regarding what you could get for 20 or 40 cents.
Very little these days.
Someone has texted in, said they got 20 cents for, costing 20 cents for tomato sauce at their local bakery, which I thought was actually quite a deal. Someone else has texted in, said 20 cents? Feel ripped off. I pay 30 cents for mine at my local cafe. Well, I'll have you know, I've been doing some research. The cheapest that it's going to cost you for one of those portions, if you buy in bulk, let's say you buy your own 100 pack.
Of the small squirty sauces.
All right. The cheapest I've been able to find that for 100 is $16, right? So even at 20 cents, they're marking up 4 cents, getting that 4 centy profit. If they're hitting 30s and 50s, which they do sometimes, they might be doubling the price, going straight into their pockies.
Goodness gracious. Jono Harrison, producer of the show, good morning to you.
Good morning. I used to get green frogs from the tuck shop for 20 cents, I think.
Each.
Used to buy the old outrage. Licorice straps for 5 cents.
It was a private school.
You know, you can get real frogs down the creek for free.
But you,
that is glucose crap.
you can't get the green frogs anymore. They've discontinued them.
Just red.
It's only red now.
Well, shout out to you if you're about to head off on schoolies.
Also,
nomming on a few red frogs around various locations in Australia.
That said, that is tomato sauce dispenser. That's like an Australian only thing.
Those little squirty packs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when they came out, that was a while ago, and I don't want to show my age. But I remember...
Roberta doesn't like doing it. You sure do it a lot.
I remember my mum being quite perplexed at how one of these things should work and squirted herself in the face in the food court. Quite humorous to a six-year-old. Joe Harrison, what's going on?
I don't know anymore, really.
Nah, go on. Tell us what you got up to last night.
It's so funny. I wish you could... We should do a little rotation system of listeners to be able to come through the studio to just listen to the show and watch Jono's face as we slowly get sidetracked with conversations.
Wow.
And just look at the plan of what we're going to talk about before the break and where we end up.
Let's talk live music. You were at a gig last night, Jono.
I was. Listen, it is Australian Music Month, so I thought I'd go to a gig last night by some 90s? TLC. I went to TLC last night.
Right.
OG. We're talking Tion T. Boz Watkins, Rosonda Chili Thomas. TLC were incredible.
Yeah, right. As in, they were incredible last night, or they were incredible when they came out. Because, I mean, they had some hits when they came out, and they kind of fell off the radar for a while.
Well, yeah, they listen, everyone was just waiting out for No Scrubs and for Waterfalls, let's be honest. the gig only went for an hour, and they had a host, an interstitial MC, who was DJing. So they'd have these, like, couple-of-minute sort of breaks where the girls would literally walk off stage, have a breather, and everyone would be dancing to Kanye for a minute, and then they'd come back out.
Would they do, like, costume changes and stuff?
That's what we thought it was, but they'd just come out in their denim overalls again.
Oh, well...
It's the same thing.
Well, denim's a heavy fabric to be wearing for a gig. I could understand you need a rest for that.
How was Jason Waterfalls? Because yesterday we had someone text in and say, I only found out a little while ago that the song I've loved since I was a kid, Chasing Waterfalls, I thought was Jason Waterfalls.
Well, everyone was waiting for this moment. All your, you know, middle-aged boppers trying to get back into it, reminiscing what it was like being in their teens.
Yep.
Me listening to the greatest hits of the 90s CD, hip-hop edition. Mm-hmm. That's what I was
channeling. Oh, you were flashing back to that.
Flashing back to that. It was really good.
Did you wear one of the T-shirts with, like, did you paint, did you go with two other friends and each of you had a T, an L, and a C written with, like, glitter paint on your white tee?
It's so funny you say that. I saw a group of people with the
tee. Of course you did. Of course you did.
I saw Shantan Wantan Ichiban singing every word.
Yeah.
Waterfalls.
Absolutely. Mm. What are your, just overall, good experience?
Out of 10.
I'd give it, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. I was pretty happy.
Solid times.
You got your own gig report. Always love to hear them. 0439757555. Here's some Emma Louise now. Yeah, congratulations to them picking up a nomination for the J Award for Aussie Album of the Year, Westway, The Glitter in the Slums. Coming out a couple of months ago now, that song Sad Songs from it, Sticky Fingers doing very nicely, and Matt O'Kine. The tension is palpable as tomorrow the J Awards will be announced. Who will be taken out? Aussie Music Video of the Year, Unearthed Artist of the Year, Double J Artist of the Year, and the Big Kahuna. The J Award for Aussie Album of the Year.
I got to tell you, I imagine that many musicians around the country have absolutely had no sleep for the last probably few days.
Probably light from the supermoon just through their Venetians.
Yeah, also got to keep one eye open for the Candyman.
Once again, Matt O'Kine.
Oh, I just realized how old
up to date refs.
Have they not remade the Candyman yet?
Thanks for your texts on 0439757555. Live music reports. I went and saw Illy last night in Brisbane, boys. Tell you what, he came with a truckload of them tuna sandwiches. He cuts the crust off them as well. He serves them up mighty fine. Does Illy. 4 hours sleep, so worth it. Thanks, Ben from the sunny coast. Ernie Berger from Eltham says, caught Macy Gray at my local RSL by accident once. Went down for Tuesday night darts. Got her instead. 7 out of 10.
That is an absolute winner, chicken dinner.
That is not bad, seeing Macy do her thing. Whilst you're throwing a few down for that triple 20.
Someone from Secret Society has texted in, and I don't know whether they are in a secret society or whether they represent all of them or which one, in fact, they are part of. But it says, when you pay 20 cents for that squeezy, deliciously good sauce from the tomato sauce, they already adjust the pie price to cover them, so they're double dipping.
Uh-oh.
Sourcegate. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we're going to have a... I'll tell you what, we need to get... Because we're in the same building as Four Corners. They've done some incredible, incredible investigative journalism this year.
Yes, they have.
We're going to have to just send whip off the internal email, because everyone's in the system, say, got a source.
I mean, imagine... I don't know what the cafe downstairs is charging for a source, but...
Got a source. So that's still to come on Triple J Breakfast.
Got a source spot. In my heart for sauce.
Yeah, Lisa Mitchell there telling you why it's very important today to get down to your local Coin Laundry, get the Oz Music t-shirts into the spinner, right? Get them smelling of milk and sandalwood, okay? So they're nice and fresh for Friday, which is officially Oz Music t-shirt day. We're dubbing today Laundry Day, so you got yourself... about 48 hours to get the shirts de-sweated.
Yeah, a day of washing.
Defrothed.
Then a day of drying.
Yeah, you got to get the foam out, the foam stains from the froth from your mouth. Got to get the got to get them stopping from smelling like tunas. All right, that fishy smell and nobody needs.
Don't put them in there now and then go to work for a whole day and come back, have them smelling all musky.
Nah, don't want that. We are getting your Oz Music t-shirt preparation stories. Alicia from Inverloch, you got a few music t-shirts you're going to bust out on Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some of this Kate t-shirt that we got on the weekend.
Oh, just recent additions to the arsenal.
Yeah.
So why just on the weekend? Were you at a gig?
Yeah, we went to the Day on the Green.
Oh, beautiful.
Woo. That's very nice. How did something for Kate go?
Oh, awesome.
Now, I mean, they were there. You were watching them. Did you get a little bit of pen to shirt action?
We sure did.
Well, that's right. An interesting one, because always good to have a signed Oz Music t-shirt. Adds to the value. However, given it's today's laundry day, you do need to put it on a delicate cycle to make sure it doesn't get washed off. Are you conscious about that, Alicia?
Yeah, I don't think we can wash it. I don't think we could do that.
Look, I wouldn't put it past just doing the hand wash. To be honest.
Yeah.
Or if you've got some of those kitchen scissors, you know, the ones that you might use to butterfly a chicken, you might be able to really cut into the shirt, cut the patch of signature out, then you can wash it as hard as you like. When it's
dry. You can wash it out the river on the rocks.
Yeah, when it's dry.
Just whacking it into them.
Then you sew it on.
Back on.
Yeah, so.
I don't think I have sewing skills for that.
Well, I mean, you know, YouTube sewing tutorials, and I reckon you'll be covered. I've got faith in you, Alicia.
I do.
Thanks, Alicia. Have a really good day.
Thank you.
A few more texts coming in about the Oz Music t-shirts on 0439757555. Spencer says, I reckon I've got every Oz Music covered with about 25 band shirts from the last couple of years.
Whoa!
Collecting. Can't wait to show you boys on Friday. Spencer, I'm looking forward to some pics going on there.
Maybe you should just do that. Wear all 25 of them. In like a big super suit.
You make a good viral video out of that
like
one.
Like when you don't want your baggage to weigh too much at the airport.
Here's an interesting one. Any Oz band got a high-vis shirt? I mean, I'm working on Friday. We need to be able to be seen. Has any band gone that tradie sort of base level and put their Oz Music band on top of that?
That is a very, very good idea.
I reckon if anyone can do it, it'd be these guys. This is Bad Dreams out of Adelaide. Mob Rule. You're on Triple J. Good morning. Up there with Gadzooks as one of my favourite things to yell in incredulity. That's Dang featuring Anderson .Paak, song by Mac Miller. Other favourites are Heavens to Betsy.
Ah, yep. Or Dope is Homer Simpson's favourite. They keep repeating, can't keep losing you. Matt from Wollongong is probably feeling like that. Says, old Harry Hump Day's got the better of me. Drove 100 Ks from Wollongong to Sydney. Go to get a coffee, discover I left the wallet at home. Just turning onto Struggle Street now. Uh-oh. Can't keep losing you. Tell you what.
I'll tell you what. You do not want to have the worst menage a trois in history would have to be between yourself, Harry Hump Day, and our old mate Barry Crocker. Because when they get in between you, make a sandwich.
It gets sweaty.
Exactly right.
Can't keep losing you. That's what it's how I feel about my bloody car park at home.
People still nabbing it.
Mate, You know me, always got the dramas. Or drama follows me around like a bad smell. I go home late at night after watching a play. All right. Done my bit for the arts. I drive in. It's late. It's dark. And the same car's parked there.
No good.
Right? Me and my girlfriend, we're obviously annoyed and quite inconvenienced, right? Because you've got to pay to park on the street.
Sure.
I don't want to fork out the clams for that. So driving around trying to find a freebie. They're not there. It's getting later and later. Eventually we find a spot in a dark alleyway. Then we're both annoyed by this whole situation, so we go to write a note. But then we end up not arguing, but kind of arguing about how the note should be worded. So then, like, I'm having an argument, a pseudo-argument with my girlfriend over this absolute bread dusting downstairs that's parked his car or their car in the park. Absolute.
Sourdough offcut.
Oh, just the worst little.
That is the butterfly
going around.
The butterfly effect just hitting you
little
hard.
Little wren.
There. Talking about losing things. We've got Matt O'Kane losing car parks. Joe Watson losing Brownlows.
Yowch.
He said he's handing it back a little while ago, so the AFL trying to figure out what to do with it.
What to do with the medal?
Whether they leave the year blank or they give it to the runners-up. And Trent Cotchin, Sam Mitchell, now Brownlow medal winners. They've been awarded it.
They gave it to someone else.
Swooped in, the second place
getters.
It's
interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, it would have been quite a big statement to make to leave it blank and go, you know, this was a dark period for the AFL.
Sure.
But good on the winners for picking up what they deserve.
Picking up the medal. I wasn't stripped of my medal during school, but I had a good swimming carnival in year 10, right? Did pretty well. Ended up at the pool, Warrnambool Olympic pool, getting awarded the best middle school swimmer for males.
All right.
Had the medal round my neck.
Then you got it stripped of your full blood doping.
No. But I did have the PE teacher at the time come in and say to me, yeah, Alex, look, this is the next day. There was a little bit of a mistake with the counting of it all, and yeah, you didn't actually win. We're gonna let you keep the medal. You can keep that, but just letting you know, you didn't win.
You can keep it, but it's worthless.
Never gotten over that.
Ouch. So who won?
Well, I think that the person they thought was in another age group was in the lower school, was actually older, and so therefore against me, and therefore had more points.
Do they know?
Probably. I think yes. They all got awarded the medal.
What do you mean you think yes?
Because they got the medal in the end.
They didn't do it. Oh, they did.
They gave another one. So there were two winners. One of them actually won. One of them was me. It was a loser who didn't.
Oh, that is brutal.
So if you've been stripped of your award, let us know. 0439757555. Here's Montaigne now. What you mean to me? 5 minutes past seven. Oh, yep. That technology we invested in to try and investigate what people want, songs people wanted to hear and then play was working because Tom's just texted us, was literally about to put the Silver Sun pickup CD in the car and boom, just sit back and turn this shit up.
Yeah, we've logged into the Illuminati's live streaming of your life and we know what you want. That's why we're playing it.
Also, Adam in Melbourne. Holy Moses, yes, Silver Sun pickup says I'm pulling into work. My day just got a whole lot better. That is Lazy Eye by Silver Sun Pickups. You may remember Violent Soho covering it a few weeks ago now for Like a Version, which was very excellent. Best of luck to them for the big announcement tomorrow as to whether their album Waco from 2016 is announced as Aussie Album of the Year and given a J Award. But they're up against the lady you heard before it, Montaigne, What You Mean to Me. Her album Glorious Heights is also excellent and also nominated. And there's eight more on top of that. So it's going to be an interesting one tomorrow afternoon when we announce the J Awards, Matt O'Kane.
Sure will be. It is a Wednesday morning, 7:15. And at this time, each week, we like to talk gaming and tech with our good friend Ray Johnston. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Thank you so much for dropping in this morning. You drive yourself here?
No, I got an Uber.
Okay, fair call, fair call. Was there a driver in it?
There was, but there might not be soon. Mm-hmm. And that's fun and exciting and terrifying and amazing. And we're actually having our road rules changed to allow for this. So you guys might be familiar with, you know, autopilot on some cars, autonomous vehicles kind of making their way into mainstream. It's going to happen sooner than we think.
They seem to be driving around LA a lot, or yeah, California a fair bit. Is there much, like if I was around in Australia and I looked and there was no one in a car, is that likely at this point in time?
Well, not at the moment, because there's no road rules that support it. But within the next 2 years, they will be changed. This has come through from the National Transport Commission to say within 2 years, the road rules will, and this is the terminology they use, no longer assume a human driver.
Ugh. I mean, how good is this technology getting though? Because I've read reports of a driverless car crashing and killing its driver, for lack of a better word, passenger.
But then most days we hear of a human driver doing the very same thing.
This is exactly it, you know, good point.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, how much can we trust them at this stage?
We can trust them more than people, which is terrifying in itself.
Yeah.
What we're looking at with this kind of technology is being proven to be far safer than trusting each other on the roads.
So 2 years, and that could be happening in Australia, because I did see this company that got valued. I mean, it's just started. It's very secretive, apparently. It got valued at $1 billion, just a little billy or something like that, because, you know, cars, as they're set out at the moment, they're set out for a human driver, and these first autonomous driving ones are just adapting those for the road.
Yeah.
But if the machine's driving and we're trusting it, why not rearrange the configuration inside the car?
Stop it from looking like an actual car.
Yeah.
Instead, you're driving like one of those big inflatable balls that you see people, you know, tumbling down hills in.
Well, I would think a Zorb would be the inside.
Well,
but like a dining table in the middle and everyone's looking at each other.
It is the future. Yeah, definitely. We'll just get in, you know, these square boxes with whatever we want in them. It'll be like a driving lounge room or something.
It's like you saw that video of those guys drive through, driving along in their motorized picnic table.
Yeah.
It would be like that, but it's self-driving.
Pretty much.
Perfect.
You'd have lunch and everything.
The future is a motorized esky. That is what we're going to be going around. Wow, that's very interesting. So when
Definitely.
Does it get signed off, Ray?
Yeah, it actually got signed off last week. So we will see these laws roll in within the next 24 months.
I know someone will be happy. Shannon, suddenly talking to computers. That's
Good
enough
morning.
Of that. Now, let's move on, because technology is helping get a few algorithms to keep endangered animals alive, Ray?
Yeah, look, what's happening is actually ridiculous and amazing. Researchers are using the algorithms from online dating programs. So we're talking about your OkCupid and your eHarmony.
Mingle.
They're slotting in DNA, and they're using it to match endangered species in breeding programs all over the world so that they can find their perfect match.
I'm so confused. Are we giving animals in zoos like phones? How does this work?
No, it's literally just a computer algorithm where the information is put into, but I love what they've called it. It's called Swinger.
Okay.
And this was created
Wait, I'm guessing S-W-I-N-G-R.
No.
Swinger.
No, they've used the E. I know.
What?
Wow, missed opportunity.
Do they even dating app?
So this is from researchers down at Flinders Uni in South Australia. So they're using those algorithms to match DNA, because when you think about it, a lot of the endangered species, a lot of these animals in breeding programs are all related. So they've kind of got to make sure that that stops.
So are we talking about, like, you know, the North Korean smoking chimpanzee can find another chimpanzee that loves the darts as well? Like, what is the point of this?
Probably.
I'm just so confused how it all works.
So they just take the raw software of people ticking, I'm looking for a serious relationship. I like dogs.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone who doesn't like dogs is a crumb and I don't want to do that. I like people who give me presents for my birthday.
But they're replacing I like dogs with specific DNA sequences that when matched with other animals mean that they'd be a good breeding pair.
You have an 86% compatibility.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it'll come up. You're a match.
With Harambe. May he rest in peace.
Wow.
Goodness
that's dark.
Me. Well, that's very interesting stuff. Thank you very much for that one, Ray. We're going to play a song from the Hilltop Hoods. And believe it or not, our next story, text story, is about this song. So have a listen to it. Listen close. Listen to the lyrics because we're going to tell you exactly how it relates to a new project from the Hoods in a moment. Through the Dark by Hilltop Hoods.
At 20 minutes to past 7, we're Matt and Alex. It's Wednesday, Triple J.
If to though, let me know if that isn't so.
Yeah, really great song from their latest album from the Hilltop Hoods. It's called Through the Dark, played for you this morning on Triple J Breakfast with Matt and Alex. And for a very specific purpose as well, because we're chatting games and tech with Ray Johnson, and something quite cool has come about through a collaboration with the Hilltop Hoods and Google, Ray.
Yeah, so Google approached the band after hearing this song, which was written by Pressure about his son Liam. 4 years ago, he went through treatment for leukemia through chemotherapy. This song was written, was never really going to be released, but he was talked into putting it on the album, caught the eye of Google. They said, look, we want to make something amazing with this. What do you want to do? And he said, I want you to create a 3D interactive video and start a charity. And that's exactly what they've done. So you can see the video that has been created. It's got a light part and a dark part. If you've got an Android phone, you can tilt your phone to choose what scene you're looking at. It can also be accessed on desktop browsers. And every time you watch this video, money will be donated to a charity that was set up in collaboration with Canteen called Side of Stage. And what it's allowing them to do is invite kids going through cancer treatment to go to live music gigs.
That'd be awesome.
Which is
so cool.
Yeah, really cool. And Canteen are also doing a call out to any other musicians that want to be involved in that Side of Stage program as well. So not only is this a beautiful video for a beautiful song, get the tissues while you're watching it. But yeah, for a good cause as well. So fantastic work from those guys.
Well, Roxy's texted in and said, my heart is bleeding, Triple J, far out. What is this tune? It's affecting me. Another Bree says, oh man, what a beautiful but devastating song. Brittany says, so many feels. I'm now walking into work with mascara running down my cheeks.
Yes.
Really touching stuff.
Well, Precious son Liam did recover from his cancer. He's now cancer-free, which is great news.
So good.
And hopefully, you know, watching this video can help brighten the lives of some other kids going through the same.
Definitely. Are other groups looking at making similar videos?
I haven't heard of anyone that's put their hands up as yet, but yeah, if you're wanting to be involved and you are doing this, definitely get in touch with me so that I can know more about it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Ray, well, thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning. All the best with it. And we will catch you again next week.
No worries.
Hey, we're going to play some live music for you here, recorded at Triple J for a segment we do called Like a Version.
Yeah, it was a combination of two of our favourite artists, Meg Mack taking on a cover of Broods, their track Bridges for Like a Version.
It's a ripper. Let's do it, Triple J. It is a Wednesday morning. Thank you very much for popping your radio on Triple J today. We're gearing up for a massive Oz Music couple of days with the J Awards tomorrow, Oz Music T-shirt day on Friday, which is the perfect dress code for our JJJOnEarth.com 10th birthday party. So we are celebrating today. It is good stuff. It's official laundry day to get your Oz Music shirts through the wash, through the dry. So Friday morning, they're crisp, fresh, ready to go.
We're also about to chat to one of Australia's best authors, Matthew Riley. Plenty of people texting in saying, can't wait. iStation, that was my first book that I ever read and I haven't stopped reading since. I can't go to work until this interview concludes.
Well, we're talking to now another one of Australia's greatest authors, Leon from Kensington. Good morning to you.
How you going, guys?
Well, thanks, Leon. Now, we chatted to Alex earlier, who mentioned that he had his swimming championship stripped from him because someone from the grade below was actually his age and was overall better in the age group.
And, yeah, I got the medal, but the teacher made a point of saying to me, you didn't win. Just to make sure you know you are the loser in this situation.
Hey, you don't just learn maths and science in primary school, mate, in high school.
That's it.
Hey, Leon, but you got stripped of your school captaincy.
So it was my class captaincy in year seven. Me and a friend, we got kicked out of class one time, and we were sitting out there just mucking around, and my friend, he did three different farts, and he then said the fart trilogy, and we started laughing our heads off. And from that, it manifested into us writing a book called The Fart Trilogy.
Okay, so, was it labelled in the way the Lord of the Rings trilogy, for example, is labelled? Was there, you know, number one, The Fellowship of the Ring? Oh, you don't even need to change the name for that one. Don't even need to change the name. The Two Towers. At the Return of the Kings.
Return of the Gas or something.
Well, unfortunately, it never got that far, but the story followed three different farts. Eggy, STD, which is a silent bit deadly, and then Conan for a big, you know, rip schnorter.
Okay. And,
I got to tell you, I can't believe these aren't bestsellers, honestly.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so if the day my bum went psycho could go nuts,
exactly.
Why cannot the fart trilogy?
That's it. And so, yeah, the book got confiscated and I lost my class captaincy.
No, see, that is outrageous because you've gone to the effort of creating a story, writing it down. This is, they're stripping you of your creativity. They're dulling you. They might as well have put you in a grey suit and just called you M.
You know, 4.86.
Yeah, exactly. That's no good at all. Absolutely rubbish. But anyways, look, we were about to chat to an author who, at a very young age, not quite, you know, year seven, but
maybe, hopefully the school allowed him to be creative to go onto the career he's had. Matthew Riley will be on the radio up next. Thank you so much for the chat, Leon, and follow your dreams.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Best of luck to this man who we're about to play right here. It's DD Dumbo. His album Utopia Defeated won a TEM nominated for the J Award for Aussie Album of the Year, getting announced tomorrow.
Matthew Riley up next, Triple J. And we kicked off with DD Dumbo, Brother, for a Wednesday morning. Hope you're well. Matt and Alex are with you. It is 14 minutes past 8.
And Matt, it's a pretty good effort from self-publishing your first novel with 1,000 copies from a bank loan to selling 7.5 million. And very few people have done it, but someone who has is joining us in the studio right now. It's a very good morning to Matthew Riley.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Hey, I mean, we were just mentioning self-publishing at 19. Take us back to that moment where what was going through your head?
You know, the best thing about being 19 is just you are psychologically bulletproof. I look back on what I did with Contest and taking out a loan from the bank, and I just thought at the time, there's no way this can fail. And I'll get it into bookstores and somebody will see it and then I'll get a publishing deal. And one publisher saw it. Mm. Nobody else called. One saw it. But now I look back on it and I think, oh, my God, I might as well have just put $8,000 on a 100-to-1 shot in the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, for sure. It's goodness. Yeah, because there'll be people finishing exams around about now. One maybe going, taking a defer year from uni, one sure of what they're about to do. But I guess it's that determination and just the almost blind willpower that got you through it.
You find out as you grow older, you become more cautious. And it turns out to be, obviously, career-wise, was the greatest decision I ever made.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
Well, I mean, when you were approaching these bookstores with this novel that you'd written, were you doing it as a 19-year-old self, or were you pretending? Were you setting up the fake emails? And oh, I'm representing Matthew Riley, and you know, were you doing those ones?
We did a little bit of that. My brother helped me out. Calling a couple of Hollywood producers a couple of years after I did that with Contest. with Contest, no, I would go into the bookstore. I'd say, hi, my name's Matthew Riley. This is my book. Would you like to put it on the shelves? And about two-thirds said yes, and about one-third just slammed the door in my face and said, you must really suck if you had to, you know, publish it yourself. But the pivotal store, which no longer exists, by the way, it was a major Angus and Robertson store in the middle of Sydney. He was the manager and he said, hey, you know, my assistant manager likes this sort of escapist thriller stuff. I'll give it to him. And if he likes it, I'll stock it. And the kid liked it. Get in the store, get into the front of the store, and that's where the publisher from Pan Macmillan saw it.
Did you accept payment for it to put it on the shelves, or you just said put it there and you keep whatever money people buy for it?
Yeah, no, some of them took it on consignment, so they'll pay you when they sell it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
As far as I was concerned, the funniest thing was a couple of years later when my book Ice Station came out, which was published commercially in a big, big way, that original store that took contest, they rang me up and they said, "We've got your new book, Ice Station. We think it's great. Have you got any copies left of that first one?" And I had 300 left out of my 1,000. And I said, "How many do you want?" And they said, "We'll take them all." And it was the only store which had Ice Station and contest in the front of the store together.
Wow.
And I was up in Brisbane on the weekend, and in the middle of this massive book signing, you know, I'm signing the new one, and then somebody slides this book across the table. It's an original self-published contest. These things go for like $2,000 or $3,000 on eBay now.
Really?
Yeah.
So let alone a signed one. Wow.
I said to the dude, I said, you know, "Do you want me to just put Matthew Riley on it? Because, you know, then it might go for more on eBay." And he said, "No."
Rather than two name, which would prevent people from buying it as much or whatever.
That's exactly right. Mm. And to his eternal credit, he said, "Nope, I'm never going to sell it. To John, da 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 da." So
that's incredible.
Well, shout out to John if you're in Brisbane now, having a listen in,
sitting on a little gold mine. You have just released a book. It's called The Four Legendary Kingdoms. I want to ask you all about it after a chat. I mean, after we have a listen to a kingdom-related song.
Yeah, this is Boo Seeker. You're on Triple J this morning. Matt, Alex, and Matthew Riley joining you. Hope you're having a good one.
Yeah. On Triple J, that was Kingdom Leader by a group called Boo Seeker. You might have heard them originally on TripleJUnearth.com. We're celebrating TripleJUnearth.com's 10th birthday this Friday in Melbourne. Boo Seeker won't be there, but
Oz Music T-shirt day that day as well. So today is laundry day. Make sure we're ready to go with your shirts.
Your Boo Seeker tee if you got one. It's going to be a big event happening in State Library, so make sure you check it out. And while you're at the State Library, maybe poke around, go to the fiction section. And see if there are any books by Matthew Riley. He's in the studio right now, one of Australia's best-selling authors, and has just released a book called The Four Legendary Kingdoms. I mean, it's always tough asking this question because it's one you've just have to answer so many times. But what's The Four Legendary Kingdoms about?
This one's really fun to talk about because it continues the series that I began with, a book called Seven Ancient Wonders. But I did something with this book which I've never done before. It's a crossover between my two big series. So it actually brings the heroes, the hero from the Seven Wonders series, a guy named Jack West Jr., and the hero from my other series, which began with Ice Station, a guy named Scarecrow, and puts them in the same book. And my fans have been asking me for years and years and years, could you put Scarecrow and Jack West in the same novel? We managed to keep this secret all the way until the day the book came out. And my fans, God love them on social media, have been so considerate. They write, they say, "I've read the book, I love the book, and I won't give away the surprise on page 10. Page 10 on this book has become this thing. So it's actually really fun to talk about this.
Wait, how have you got a surprise on page 10? Isn't that a bit too soon? I mean, I don't want to tell you how to write, Matthew Riley, but you saved the surprises.
It's a very good question. I introduce it with Jack West, the hero of this series, everyone's expecting, and then I just thread in this mention of this United States Marine who wears these reflective silver glasses, which is the sort of the catch cry, the signature thing of Scarecrow.
And people go, "Surely not."
And people have written on Facebook and whatnot and said, one guy was on the bus reading it, and he stood up in his seat and went, "Yes!" And all the other people on the bus looked at him and he's like, "Oh." And people check out the comments on Facebook. People are fist pumping. And the comments I've had even on the tour that I've done so far, people are really digging it. Yeah. And so you really feel that I took a chance and thought this is the right book to bring them together. And they're really getting into it.
Definitely. Well, good on you for taking these chances. You've taken a chance of moving to Los Angeles as well. The last couple of years spent there. How is the City of Angels?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic for what I want to do. I want to do more movie stuff. And so being there it got the Seven Wonders series optioned by 20th Century Fox. I adapted my own book, The Tournament, into a screenplay. So I'm attached to direct that.
Wow.
And we're hunting for leading men right now. I can't tell you who the script is with right now. Okay. But,
well, you know, I did go to drama school, Matthew Riley. So, I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to take you up on the offer.
You are, you open for, you know, nudity, that sort of stuff? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm busy.
you're the exception. Everybody else says, yeah.
Any excuse?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, well, we haven't talked about it for a while, but Matt does have a small, very small, it's more of a bump, but a small tail.
I'm glad you said tail. Jesus. I was like, what?
Where's he going?
Not on air, mate. Hey, I wanted to know because the type of, you know, the books that you write, they're so action-based. There's so much stuff going on in them. Do you ever have trolls basically going at you for things that are not possible, like in your books where they're like, oh, I fired that type of gun and it would never, ever ricochet off something like that and you don't know what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honestly, because this is now like my 14th book, I got rid of the, oh, that's not believable, people 10 years ago.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just know.
Yeah.
If they want some procedural accuracy, they don't read Matthew Riley books anymore. My stuff, it's supposed to be fun and escapist.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, are you going to keep on writing or are you really just going to drop it all and focus on the film stuff now?
No, it's I honestly get the best of both worlds. With movie making, there's a lot of what they call hurry up and wait. We send out the script, say, to Johnny Depp or Hugh Jackman, it's going to take 3 months for them to get back to you. Mm. And so you have something else to do. And for me, I just keep plugging away on the books. I love doing it. You know, I write. That's what I enjoy doing. Mm. And so it's the perfect place for me that I can do the movie meetings and then go back and write the next book.
Definitely. What's a professional writer's procedure when it comes to saving your work? Have you had any times where you haven't had the autosave on and suddenly, you know, halfway through a book you lose it all?
That is a very good question. I now subconsciously just click, you know, Control S. I just sort of write a sentence, Control S, write a sentence, Control S. It's automatic. I do have... with this book, when you get to the end of the book, that's when you get really paranoid. And I actually have on my key ring back home, because I don't need it now because I'm on tour, it's all right, the book's done. I have my house key and I have one of those little USB drives which is in the shape of a key. And so wherever I go on my car keys, I have the book on my USB drive. So it
on
is,
your person.
If the house burns down when I'm out, it's on my person. So,
great tip. Except for me, I've lost 2 sets of keys in 2 weeks. So not the best for me, but Matthew Riley, it's worked for you very well. And The Four Legendary Kingdoms has just come out as well. Cannot wait to tuck myself into that one.
Yeah, I do want to ask you just before we let you go, what advice do you have for a 19-year-old who's sitting in their car right now or at their computer and they want to write a book?
The key piece of advice is, you know, write what you love to read yourself. You know, don't think, oh, Matthew Riley sold a lot of thrillers, I have to write a thriller. If you write poetry, you know, you'll write good poetry because that's what you know. You're not going to see the Matthew Riley book of poetry anytime soon because I don't know that. But I know thrillers. And so if you're 19, write what you love to read yourself. And also, simple one, just don't take no for an answer. Mm. If everybody tells you you can't do it, it means they can't do it. Doesn't mean you can't. Look at me. I'm an idiot. Look where I've gone.
So great. Thank you so much for dropping by this morning. All the best with the rest of your tour and, you know, your trip back home as well. And hopefully we'll chat to you again when the next one comes out.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.